Welcome to Hallway Conversations, Directions Media's interview series with geospatial insiders and outsiders. This is Adina Schutzberg. In March, I learned about a geospatial professional who is splitting his time between serving as the GIS manager for a Colorado county and serving as a volunteer with GIS Corps, helping the UN build a GIS to address the needs of rebuilding Haiti. Chris Markison shares the challenges and rewards of his dual lifestyle in an interview recorded March 12th. I am in the virtual hallway today with Chris Markison, GISP, the GIS manager of Pueblo County, Colorado. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Adina.
Well, I really appreciate you joining me today because you're in a very interesting position. So let's start out with your day job.
Well, I'm, like you said, the GIS manager for Pueblo County, Colorado. And if you're not familiar with Pueblo, we're about an hour and a half south of Denver in southern Colorado. We're a reasonably small city of about 100,000 people in the city and a total population in the county area of around 155,000 people. So we're a small, fair-sized city, I should say. I guess our regular role with my department is really like anybody else. We do a lot of different GIS things, everything from supporting the assessor's office to the planning department and the sheriff's department and so forth. We're a little bit unique where we do a few things with economic development that have gained some attention in the GIS world.
Now, how many folks do you have working with you?
We just kind of did a little bit of a change, but I've got four other people on in my department.
Okay, so you're not all alone out there. Well, it sounds like you've got a really sort of mature GIS organization and a mature county if they know how to spell GIS, and it's made its way into all these nooks and crannies. Now, was that part of why you put your name in to GIS Corp as a part of to basically say, I'm available if some organization needs my help?
Partially. You know, I should say that a lot of our roots in GIS in Pueblo County is that we've had a very, very close tie to our emergency management department and the sheriff's department. So we're all very well versed in understanding recent changes to Homeland Security and the command structures and so forth. That takes a little bit of learning, but also in terms of responding to emergencies, we support a variety of things, including a mobile command unit that is basically a really large RV on steroids with a whole lot of computer equipment within. And really the way that unit was designed was around GIS, and GIS was a fundamental to that operation of that vehicle. Do we have you could call it a benefit or a constraint, depending upon your point of view. We have a chemical stockpile in Pueblo County, something that the Army has maintained here since World War II, and it's a place that it's a cordoned off area that's razor wire and really hard to get to, that maintains 1/7, I believe, of the country's stockpile of World War II era mustard agent. And a lot of people hear mustard gas. Well, it's not really a gas. It's more of a sludge. But anyway, it's housed in these artillery shells and so forth. And through various treaties, the United States is required and obligated to destroy those weapons. In part of our role in GIS is we're sort of a civilian GIS end of helping make sure that the public understands and knows safety precautions and so forth about this chemical stockpile. So it was really ingenious for this group of federal folks who manage this stockpile to really use GIS to make sure that chemical plumes are modeled properly, that soil sampling kinds of things are done intelligently using GIS and so forth. That experience, combined with our other emergency management experience, has been real valuable. When Hurricane Katrina came along, I was really hoping that I could do something to help out. But I have little kids, and that's hard to do. It's hard to go down to Louisiana and give a hand. It just really wasn't possible. So when I saw this group, ERISA's GIS Corps group, established, I was really excited about, wow, you know, this is a really interesting opportunity for folks who know GIS to get the opportunity to give a hand somehow. And so sometimes people do end up going to other places, whether they be a developing country across the world, or a lot of times what I've seen in the GIS Corps listserv and the things that you see on the ERISA website, a lot of times they stay home and they just remote into different computers and so forth. As part of the GISP certification process, I made sure that I put my name on that list, which is I'm really glad that I did. The way that the GIS core practice works, I believe, is that you fill in some details about your levels of experience. And depending upon a potential emergency that might be going on, GIS Corps, who has these contacts across the world for a variety of different organizations, says, hey, we've got X number of people who meet the resume requirements of what you're looking to do in your response. Just so happened that what some of my skills are really matched with what the UN Haiti mission really needed. So I was thrilled to get the chance to apply for that.
Now, when did you first put your name into the bin for GIS Corps?
I think it was about 2 years ago, to tell you the truth. And there's been some interesting things come across that listserv occasionally. And in fact, just about maybe 3 months ago, there was something interesting. It was an issue in, it was a non-emergency issue where there were, you know, how can we use GIS to do some advanced modeling of water delivery services in a developing country. So it's not just emergencies, but they have a lot of different requests, GIS Corps does, that really run the gamut.
Now, what was it about this one that sort of perked you up and got you excited?
First and foremost, just seeing the news reports about Haiti and the devastation that was there, and after looking at Hurricane Katrina, you can just assume that, wow, this is a major, major incident, and the amount of resources that are there in Haiti are limited. They're going to need all hands on deck. And so that was one of those things that I looked at. Another is that through some Twitter posts, I had learned that there was an individual in Haiti who was a GIS professional. And she was killed during the earthquake. So that was like, wow, you know, this is someone in our industry is, they're no longer there. And that's really sad. The other thing about it was is that the initial request from GIS Corps was to volunteer for 2 weeks. And so that seemed like a pretty good timeline. So I said, absolutely, I'd love to try and do this. And so the process with GIS Corps was that a woman by the name of Shore Elhami, who is the co-founder of GIS Corps, she set up a couple of telephone interviews, and we discussed for a while about strengths and resumes and the things that you typically do for any old job application. I got the nod that, hey, you know, you're one of four people that we want to respond to this emergency. So that was really pretty neat. After some negotiations and so forth that Shore did with the United Nations, it turned out that they changed the requirements all over the place, and it narrowed it down to two people, and myself and another man by the name of Graham Smith, who is up in Ontario, Canada. We both got the nod to help out. Graham is a ARC SDE expert. I'm well-versed in ArcGIS Server, and so together we're working with this group. Oddly enough, not on the ground in Haiti, not in New York, but it's actually in Bonn, Germany, a team called UN Spider, helping them out in a very interesting way.
You said 2 weeks. I don't think it's played out as 2 weeks, right?
No, it really didn't. They upped it to, well, you know, 6 months. Okay. So I committed to it, and because I knew what the scope of the project was going to be, talked it over with my wife, and we kind of said, well, let's do it. Go for it. Have fun. You know, it's a volunteer gig. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to help the United Nations out. I mean, how cool is that? Go for it. So it's been a lot of time on Skype and a lot of communication back and forth with folks at really odd hours. Germany's 8 hours ahead of us. So about the time they're getting ready to go home, I'm just showing up to work. So we end up doing some things really late at night, really early in the morning, which has been fun. It's kind of tiring, but fun.
Now, how do you manage this around your day job? And how many hours do you think you're putting in per day for the UN project?
It started off fairly slow, and it was probably maybe an hour a day. it really wasn't too much. Now it's working up to be around four or five a day doing different things. That's considerable amount of extra to add on top of a regular job. By the time they think that we get a big chunk of our work done with ArcGIS Server and the ArcSDE work that we're working on now, we'll be working on the GeoPortal extension for ArcGIS Server. That work will be rather intensive, I believe, and so there'll be a stint of maybe a month or two where I might put in, say, 20 to 30 hours a week. The neat thing, too, is that as we go further along, we've met more people who are United Nations employees, and that they're in typically Germany, and we've met a few other people in Austria, which has been fun. They have some interesting resources that they can bring. In fact, this morning we had a brief Skype chat with a professor who is new to the group. He's going to bring some virtualization, some VMware virtualization capabilities to UN Spider to utilize. And I should say that I think that the UN is fairly accustomed to disasters, and they roll from one to the next. However, when you get major disasters like the one in Haiti and now the one that happened in Chile, they pull in additional resources as they see fit. And both of these are very long-term commitments for the UN. So the project that we're working on, basically centralizing and bringing together UN data resources from everything from raster images, from satellite photography, aerial photography, even some things from pictometry, which has been very interesting to see, and some vector data, especially geopolitical boundaries, just some basic things that one might need in order to respond to an emergency as a member of the United Nations. All of those together will be consolidated into one central spot. The way it has been in the past, and what we're seeing right now, is that things are widely distributed throughout the United Nations.
When you say it being all brought together, do you mean literally that the data is being collected in a single place, a data server there in Bonn?
Not necessarily.
Okay, I didn't think that's what you meant.
Yeah, when I say all brought together, well, that's sort of, I should say that the availability of each individual data resource is being brought together. The power of the GeoPortal extension really will be to allow various agencies, whether it's the United Nations, a local government someplace in an individual country, all the way up to, let's say, the World Bank, to collaborate and work together and house their own WMS services or vector resources, you know, published through ArcSDE, published out through open source data sets, and so forth, to really be consumed, or actually their metadata consumed by the GeoPortal extension. And in a way, the GeoPortal extension will act like a glorified card catalog of sorts that allows people to basically drag and drop data from the GeoPortal directly into ArcMap, depending upon whatever their needs are. And so some of the cool things that we're starting to see out of Haiti have been even geo-enabled tweets, people having their data phones and they're posting Twitter feeds, even geo-enabled photography on the ground. We've been experimenting and playing with getting some of that information consumed through ArcGIS Server and consequently through the ArcGIS Server GeoPortal extension, basically having a really interesting way of displaying some of that information.
Wow. Well, I know you're only sort of partway through this six-month adventure. What kind of things do you think that you're learning about and learning of that you're going to be able to bring back to your work in Colorado?
Oh, a whole lot of things. It's actually been really enlightening, and I'm very excited about it. We've never touched open source things in Pueblo. That's been a real interesting thing, taking a look at PostgreSQL databases and how SDE can kind of come on top of that. We're accustomed to using Microsoft SQL Server 2005, which has a cost associated to it. Doing it in Postgres is very interesting. You know, using things on a Linux server instead of a Windows machine has been interesting too. And then this whole concept of this cloud computing model that we've been using is very interesting too. I didn't tell you much about the UN's available resources in Bonn, but I was really surprised when we first connected and actually took a look at their hardware inventory and so forth, that really for us, myself and Graham, we have three servers essentially to play with. And they're servers that you wouldn't typically say, hey, this is a really high-powered GIS box. So we went, wow, you know, how are we going to do this? And the response from the UN is, don't worry about it. We've got other resources. If we need to call in some processor power from a, you know, a university machine in Chicago, well, then we'll use it. If we need to call in some resources for virtual machines from Austria, they're ours. We can do that stuff. And it's like, wow, well, that's very interesting. These geographic boundaries that we're accustomed to, this is my server, and it lives here in my server room. Well, that's kind of irrelevant with the UN. The ability for these servers to really interplay with each other, regardless of where they're physically located, has been really interesting.
Right, and that's cloud in even maybe a different way than some folks. I thought you were going to start talking about how they're taking advantage of Amazon Web Services or something like that, but it sounds like they've got their own machines that sort of are part of their own cloud.
Yeah, they have their own cloud, but you're right. They also do use other folks' machines. They just ask for resources, and somehow they're allocated. For both Graham and I, we shake our heads going, how do these guys do what they do?
My last question has to do with your advice to others who might be considering throwing their hat into the ring for a GIS Core kind of project. What kinds of advice might you give?
Oh, I would say absolutely consider looking at the information on giscore.org, that website. It has a ton of information about what it is that the group does. And it's a very philanthropic group, and it's a really interesting opportunity for GIS professionals to lend a hand. Some of the things that you can do with the group are very small. You know, they could potentially take you an afternoon's worth of time and have major impact for someone who's not exposed or able to use GIS for some reason, all the way up through a very long-term commitment, like this six-month gig that I'm doing. The other interesting thing, too, is that depending upon the need of an organization, as a GIS Core volunteer, you might be able to get to go someplace kind of cool. It doesn't just have to be, hey, I work in ArcGIS server. It could be, hey, I know AutoCAD, and I know something about Erdos Imagine. Well, those are fantastic, you know, niche items that someone could use as a geoprofessional. You know, other experience could range all the way to, you know, utility infrastructure kinds of things, which I really expect are going to be some of the needs in Haiti fairly soon. It doesn't have to just be in response to an individual emergency or something. It's a great way to meet some interesting people, and not just the GIS Core group, which they're great. They're really a lot of fun to work with. But these other people that I've been working with in Germany and Austria are fantastic and really interesting folks, and it's neat to develop a friendship with people that I've yet to actually see them other than pictures of their little profile pictures on Skype.
So it sounds like what everybody does is they bring with them their set of skills, but also this sort of open mind and interest and sort of flexibility to work with whatever and whomever seems to show up as part of the project.
Absolutely. And you never know what you're going to need, just like in your regular job. I'm getting a lot out of this, too. Not only am I getting this experience and learning some interesting things that I would have never been exposed to in my day job, there's a ton of opportunity out there for me to really help a group of folks that you're making a difference in the world, which is, I think, that all that any of us really can expect to do. I'm very honored to be involved.
And I'm very honored to have met you and had you share your story with us. And let me say, on behalf of the geospatial community and folks around the world, thank you for your service.
Well, thank you, sir. I really appreciate it. Thanks, Adina.
You have been listening to a hallway conversation with Chris Markison, GISP, GIS Manager of Pueblo County, Colorado, and a volunteer with GIS Corps. Links to an article about Chris and his local paper and to GIS Corps are provided in the show notes. If you have questions or comments about today's interview, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com, or you can leave a comment at Directions Magazine or All Points Blog. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.